I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Egypt's political revolution seemed to involve everyone, rich and poor, young and old, Christian and Muslim, men and women. Now, 3 months after President Hosni Mubarak was pushed from power, the prevailing mood in Egypt is uncertainty. Women, for example, don't know whether the uprising is going to lead to a greater role for them in public life, or, as some fear now, if it'll mark a step backward. Ursula Lindsay reports from Cairo.
At the headquarters of one of Egypt's many new political parties, a meeting of the Women's Committee is in progress. This is a liberal, secular party, and the purpose of the committee is to keep women's rights on the agenda in post-revolutionary Egypt. Dina Wahba, a 25-year-old activist, chairs the committee. Like everyone else in this room, she fears that women, who helped topple Mubarak, will have little say in the country's future.
Like, you always give something of yourself in the conflict, and then post-conflict you said, like, thank you. Now you go and we sit on the table and we plan for you your whole life. And this is what's happening. Women are not on the table. And now we're not welcomed anymore. And it's very worrying.
The army that runs the country now has appointed only one woman to the new cabinet. It hasn't appointed any female governors or asked any female jurists to be part of the committee it formed to amend the constitution. Women's rights activists are also worried by the rise of Islamist groups, from violent fundamentalists to the once banned but popular Muslim Brotherhood, which has announced it will form a political party. The irony is that women have always participated in Islamic politics, but their role isn't one that most women's rights activists would appreciate. Mariam Ibrahim joined a new Islamist party because she thinks it's important for women to be involved in public life, to support religion and tradition. All the laws that affect women need to be reviewed. I don't support a quota for women in parliament, she says. I don't think it's the government's place to ban female genital mutilation. And I don't think women should have the right to divorce their husbands. That's something no Eastern man accepts. Ibrahim believes that her party's positions represent the views of most Egyptians. That's exactly what progressives like Wahba are afraid of. But Taheni El-Gabeli, the only female judge on the country's high constitutional court, says she isn't afraid.
It's only natural, after decades of repression, for all sorts of political and cultural forces to rise to the surface now. Some of them will be against human rights and against a secular state.
The best way for women to defend their rights is simply to be active participants and leaders in public life, El-Gabeli argues. She says the problem is that women are always waiting for someone to invite them to get involved.
They ask, why aren't we present in leadership circles? No one invites women to play a role. They impose themselves by their presence, by their competence, by the awareness of what they have to offer. Before we talk about rights, let's practice them.
That's easier said than done, though, says Dina Wahba, when we meet a few days later at a cafe near her house. She says women in Egypt are socialized not to assert themselves, not to argue with men, not to raise their voices, not to compete.
You are raised to believe that you are less than a man. So in everyday practices, in the street, at home, at school, you're always seen as less.
Not that she accepts that for herself.
For example, I'm thinking of running for a local council. Even if I'm going to lose, which I pretty much will, but I want to get the experience so that I can run again more stronger.
For The World, I'm Ursula Lindsay in Cairo.